WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicki. Former Virginia Governor L. Douglas Wilder is disputing an investigator's finding that he kissed a much younger university student without her consent. Researchers in JMU's biology department are part of a team studying whether limb regeneration in animals can be duplicated in humans. And superhero movie blockbusters do not necessarily translate into more business for local comic book shops. This is the WMRA Daily for Tuesday, July 23rd. Former Virginia Governor L. Douglas Wilder says he is formally contesting an investigator's finding that he kissed a university student 6 decades his junior without her consent. Wilder posted on his website Monday that he has filed a statement with Virginia Commonwealth University rejecting an investigator's findings. The student, Sydney Black, filed a complaint in March to police and school officials saying Wilder took her to dinner on her 20th birthday, gave her alcohol, and kissed her. That was in 2017. An independent investigator recently found that Wilder had kissed Black without consent, but cleared him of 3 other allegations the student made of sexual exploitation, sex-based discrimination, and retaliation. Wilder, who is the nation's first elected Black governor and teaches at VCU, denied any non-consensual sexual contact. VCU will review Wilder's statement before making a final determination in the case. The investigation was conducted by an attorney at the request of VCU. 2 professors in JMU's biology department are part of a team studying whether limb regeneration in animals can be duplicated in humans, WMRA's Calvin Pinn reports.
JMU professors Marcus Davis and Amanda Cass studied American paddlefish for their unique bone structure before exploring their potential to regrow their fins.
One of our questions is, why can't we regenerate our skeletons after injury? So what we're doing is leveraging the ability of animals that do have that superpower to regenerate their skeleton.
Davis and Cass amputated the pelvic fins of young paddlefish to test their regrowth. After several weeks of observation, they discovered that paddlefish have that superpower as well. A staining technique they used showed the paddlefish slowly regrowing their bones. For Cass, it was a eureka moment.
And when we did the staining and we actually looked at that, we noticed that yes, in fact, there was new fin growth beyond the cut plane. It was a very exciting moment, and I went running down the hall to show him the pictures with, you know, a picture on my cell phone saying, look, look, no, really, it is there.
Those results were published in a paper earlier this month along with similar results from research at Michigan State University, the Federal University of Pará in Brazil, and the Leibniz Institute in Berlin that studied other fish and amphibian species. According to Davis, that collective effort shows that reactivating the genetic capability in humans to regrow limbs could one day be possible.
And that bears hope that we also have that program, and with some nudging through therapy, that we may be able to reactivate parts of that program. And that's the exciting part. We just have to figure out where that nudging needs to occur and how we could do it.
Although the possibility of testing limb regrowth in humans is still a long way off, Davis said that when the time comes, he hopes JMU will get to take part in that research as well. For WMRA News, I'm Calvin Penn.
The National Transportation Safety Board says since the year 2000, more Americans have died in car crashes than in both world wars, and most of the accidents involved speeding, drunken, or distracted drivers. But as WCVE's Charles Fishburne reports, Virginia Tech is pioneering research on cars that do not need drivers.
Could driverless cars save lives?
This is our hope.
Virginia Tech Transportation Institute's Andy Schott.
If you're a self-driving car, what happens is that you no longer only have 2 eyes. You have hundreds of eyes looking in all directions at all times.
Tesla and others are close, but he says it is not here yet.
Being able to get to that 100% fatality reduction is something that I don't see happening for us in our lifetimes, because we'll have a mixed fleet and manual drivers still falling into some of the human error that occurs.
Tech has been doing research on automated vehicle systems for 20 years. He predicts the first real self-driving vehicles will be robo-taxis.
So let's imagine it would be in Washington, D.C. in about a 10-square-block area.
Charles Fishburne, WMRA News.
The sign outside of a church in Appomattox reads, America, love it or leave it, and several congregants decided to leave. Pastor E.W. Lucas told WSET-TV that some members walked out of the Sunday service over the national attention that sign brought to the Appomattox church. Lucas says he still stands by the Friendship Baptist Church sign, which he said is meant to make a statement about the political divisions in Washington, D.C. The pastor has said that people who want to criticize the president and the country should, quote, go over there and live in these other countries for a little while. His comment echoes racist tweets by President Donald Trump, in which Trump attacked four minority congresswomen, saying they should return to, quote, the totally broken and crime-infested places from which they came. New campaign finance disclosures are revealing the contours of election 2019. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope explains how.
Republicans and Democrats each have their own source of big money this year, according to campaign finance numbers posted to the Virginia Public Access Project. Business interests like big pharma and high-interest lenders are donating top-dollar contributions to Republican incumbents on committees that oversee regulation of their industries. Stephen Farnsworth at the University of Mary Washington says businesses are rightly concerned about the bottom line.
For business interests to be a bit concerned about the prospect of Republicans being in the minority in 2019 and what that might mean for their interests, that's a very careful calculation on their part.
Special interests are throwing money at Democrats, especially a group known as Let America Vote, which is supporting Democrats in marginal seats who just barely won against Republican incumbents last time. Jeremy Mayer at George Mason University says these Democrats are going to need help to stay in office.
These new Democrats that were swept into office in 2017, some of them didn't win by very much at all. And if the Republicans can get a good group together while the Democrats are reeling and dealing with their problems, it'll be a very good year for the Republicans.
If Republicans can knock off two or three of those Democratic incumbents who narrowly won last time, they can end up losing a couple of incumbents and still retain control of the House of Delegates. I'm Michael Pope.
Finally today, you might think that with all the superhero blockbusters in theaters these days, comic book stores would be raking in the cash. But almost the exact opposite is true. WMRE's Jason Barr explores the unique challenges these small local businesses are facing.
These sounds, the electric chime, the hum and buzz of customers talking about their favorite subjects, the ringing up of merchandise, can be heard in just about any neighborhood store. But this is a different type of shop. It's a comic book shop, and in recent years, these stores have been going out of business at an alarming pace in spite of the higher mainstream visibility of comic book properties such as Wonder Woman and Captain America. In 2017, for instance, at the height of the boom of comic book-based films, including three that year, from Marvel's Avengers universe alone, more than 50 comic book shops around the country closed their doors, according to one industry observer. And the shops that are closing aren't just the new startups. Even some of the biggest, most venerable, and longest-lived shops are struggling. St. Mark's Comics in New York City closed after 36 years. Mile High Comics in Denver had to make a dramatic reorganization. Jonathan Atkins and his wife, Karis, ran Comic Toast in Harrisonburg for 5 years before going out of business. He says that the popularity of superhero films never translated into sales for his store.
You've got all these movies that have come out, and they're super popular, and everyone goes to see them. Shouldn't that translate into more sales? And the answer is no.
The funny thing is, I don't really notice a big bump.
Steve Lotz is the owner of the Secret Lair Comics in Harrisonburg, which has been open for a little more than 5 years now.
Occasionally you'll have somebody that are motivated that, you know, they saw, you know, the last Avengers movie, and so they come in and they want to read Avengers comics. The problem is the movies, both DC, Marvel, and the independent stuff, are so divorced from what's going on in the comics that the characters are almost unrecognizable.
I spoke to Steve on a Wednesday, which is when all of the new releases come out, and so his store was quite busy. He says the comic book shops aren't just places for people to come and buy merchandise. They also offer a sense of community.
Yeah, it's easier for a lot of people to order stuff online and have it delivered to your house, but like to be able to create a community place for going and finding out about new comics and picking up and talking about new series and artists and stuff. It's something where we have a lot of people who come in having no idea about comics, or maybe that they're an old fan of comics, but they're looking for something new or different. So definitely much more community focused than profit based, because if it weren't, I would have given up a long time ago. Yeah.
Jonathan agrees that the community aspect is the driving force behind deciding to open a shop.
I'd always dreamed of owning a comic book shop. That's something I think everybody that reads comics has the dream of, like, oh, I'm going to own my own shop. This was something that the two of us agreed on, was that as much as this was going to be a business and we wanted to make money, it was also about creating a community.
That's when they came in and was like, I want to cancel my
subscription. Dan Dyer, who recently opened Multiverse Comics and Games in Culpeper, agrees.
I wanted to have a place in my hometown for young people as well as others who like gaming and such like that, so they have something to do. I would like to be a community place where people can come, just hang out, and interact with other like-minded individuals.
There's a constant tension between running a business and having a community hangout, and sometimes the challenges of the business side can be overwhelming. For Dan Dyer, whose shop is just a few months old, it's a simple challenge of letting people know that you exist.
That's the big one, because I know of a lot of people that are excited about it, and I know of a lot of people who would be excited about it if they just knew we were there.
But even the more established shops still struggle with many peaks and valleys.
My goal is each week to make enough money to keep the lights on, keep new books coming in. There's still months where we are operating at a loss, times where it's not really making a profit, and I dip a little into savings to keep everything afloat. And then there are other times where we'll have a really great couple of weeks or a great month, or all of a sudden we became profitable for a few months in a row, and it was this huge deal.
Still, despite the financial and business struggles in running a comic book shop, the community aspect is what makes the experience worthwhile.
I think it's one of those things where, I mean, it sounds really corny. It sounds like the kind of thing you'd tell a group of graduating seniors, but chasing your dreams. I mean, that's when I die, you know, when they write my obituary or whatever, you know, that 5 years was important to me. People still that I talk to on Facebook and stuff who occasionally will just say, you know, I really miss the store. I miss the environment. I miss the sense of community that you guys really created in that store. I will never regret having had that experience. Quite the contrary. It was a wonderful experience, and I'd do it again in a heartbeat.
In the meantime, if you want to go right to the source, you may still find a comic book store near you, a place where multiple universes of superheroes await. For WMRA News, I'm Jason Barr.
And you can learn more about that story at WMRA.org and through the WMRA app. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Tuesday.